As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places. Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from Reverend David S. Blanchard. These are his words. On sabbatical in East Africa, I heard a story of a people who believe that we are each created with our own song. Their tradition as a community is to honor that song by singing it as welcome when a child is born, as comfort when a child is ill, in celebration when the child marries, and in affirmation and love when death comes. Most of us were not welcomed into the world in that way. Few of us seem to know our song. It takes a while for many of us to figure out which is our song and which is the song that others would like us to sing. Some of us are slow learners. I heard my song not necessarily from doing extraordinary things in exotic places, but also from doing some pretty ordinary things in some routine places. For every phrase I heard climbing Kilimanjaro, I learned another in a chair in a therapist's office. For every measure I heard in the silence of a retreat, I heard another laughing with my girls. For every note I heard in the wind on the beach at Lamu, I gleaned more from spending time with a dying friend as her children sang her song back to her. What came to astound me was not that the song appeared, but that it was always there. I figure that the only way I could have known it for my own was if I had heard it before memory went to work, making sense and order of the mystery of our beginning. Our songs sing back to us something of our essence, something of our truth, something of our uniqueness. When our songs are sung back to us, it is not about approval, but about recognizing our being and our belonging in the human family. It is good to know our songs by heart for those lonely times when the world is not singing them back to us. That's usually a good time to start humming to yourself that song that is most your own. They can be heard as songs of love or of longing, songs of encouragement or of comfort, songs of struggle or of security. But most of all, they are the songs of life, giving testimony to what has been, giving praise for all we're given, giving hope for all we strive for, giving voice to the great mystery that carries each of us in and out of this world.
Thank you, Susan, for that reading. I think it's really special that you, as a composer of songs, got to read that. As chair of the search committee that resulted in calling a Reverend Karen to our congregation, I offer short remembrance of that process today, and also a reflection on how we have lived out our hopes together in these last 5.5 years of shared ministry. So from approximately 2012 to 2014, we had an interim minister, the Reverend Marlene Walker. And late in the spring of 2013, the search team convened. This team included myself as the chair. I see a lot of people here who are there. Colleen O'Hara, Thomas Lunn, Virginia Harrison was here earlier, Jean Leiden, Doug Erickson, and Barbara Whitney. We received a lot of support. In fact, I called them quite often, the UUA Transitions Office, when I had questions that our interim minister couldn't answer, and, of course, from Marlene Walker, the Reverend Marlene Walker, who was our interim minister. And as a congregation, we worked very hard during those 2 years. We had to get ready for some change. And we had to also process the previous ministry of the Reverend Daryl Ritchie, who had been with us, I think, 7.5 years, And he had told us that he had gotten another congregation, and there had been a lot of conflict during his ministry, so we had a lot to process. And we did a review of our history. We wrote a covenant of right relations during that time. We really strengthened our financial situation, and we actually, at that time, was when we started our endowment fund, which is one of the five pillars of congregational finances. We had many hopes, wanting to become more financially stable. We wanted to expand our version of beloved, welcoming community. We wanted to become more multicultural and multigenerational as a congregation. Through reading Reverend Karen's packet, as what we used to call it in those days, and our extensive interviews with her, we noted her interest in racial justice and anti-oppression work. We noted her interest in being radically welcoming. And she also had experience with including the children more during worship. We found her sermons were authentic and engaging. She was down to earth, thoughtful, and had a good pastoral presence in person. We chose her, and she chose us. So how have we lived out these hopes in our shared ministry together? I think we've become a more multi-generational congregation. We have clarified our mission as a congregation. We continue to grow our ability to welcome folks who come through our doors. We have continued to pursue justice work and are starting to expand our vision of what that justice work can be in a faith community. Through several RE offerings, workshops, sermons, intentional practices, we are becoming more aware of how white supremacy culture is limiting our dreams of beloved community and collective liberation. And we are challenging those norms together. We have established financial stability. And of course, we want to move towards more fully funding our mission, because we have something very, very special to offer here at James Reeb that you can't find other places. We offer a community to heal, learn, grow, and transform our lives and the world. What will I do as president of the congregation during her sabbatical? Take a vacation? No.
She's not kidding.
A short one. Yeah. I want to take time to notice every time I think about, oh, I should call Reverend Karen, or I got to ask Karen this. I better text her and see about that. And instead, what I want to do is just to take a moment and take a breath and just send out a little prayer to the universe for her restoration and well-being. And then I also think I also want to notice those moments of gratitude when somebody asks me a question or I get an email and I'm like, what in the world should I do? And I'm it's in that spreadsheet and I know the name of it and where to find it. And I just want to have gratitude when that happens. And what I want to wish Reverend Karen is lots of good rest, time in nature, lots of time for reflection, lots of laughter, time to play and dance. Blessed be.
Bev, thank you. I'm so grateful for you as well and your role in creating this shared ministry. You've been there since day one and now you're board president. I found myself thinking a lot about the journey that brought us together, too, as I prepare for the sabbatical. The amazing thing about that search process is that it offers a chance for a minister and a congregation who both know their songs to harmonize in a shared ministry that is meaningful and real for all. I often quote my colleagues because I love how they put words together, but today I'm going to share a piece of something I wrote that I said to the people that made up this congregation 6 years ago when we spent a week getting to know each other as part of the process of discerning whether you would call me as your minister. So in the sermon that I offered on the Sunday that you took your vote, I said, I have found here a congregation that is intentional and passionate about how you are together and how you are within your community. You're welcoming to all who walk in your doors, and you've made this space comfortable for many kinds of people to be together. And you've done tremendous work over the last 2 years, learning from conflict, exploring your history, creating your covenant of right relations. You've developed and articulated a real understanding of how you want to be together and who you want to be together. You're completing a very successful budget drive. You really are taking flight, which was the theme for that year's drive. It's very exciting for me as your potential minister to see and feel your momentum, and that's what I think we can grow together. You're already taking care of each other and reaching out to others, and I'm already seeking justice in many of the places you are interested. I think we're well suited to each other. We have before us a beautiful opportunity to walk together in our personal joys and sorrows and how we reach out to the world around us, to look deep within ourselves and decide what we wish to become. I'm blessed and deeply grateful to have had the chance to be part of your congregation for this past week and to have begun the sacred dance of beginning relationship with many of you. It would be an honor and a privilege to continue this dance and this work with you. And now here we are, 5.5 years in. So much has happened for you and for me and for us. You have welcomed so many new people into this community. You've reached out to form partnerships with so many others, and you've built love and hope within and beyond. You've lost people as they passed away, or moved away, or just moved on. And so you've shared sadness, and you've shared consolation. You've talked about all of those milestones, your children, your families, your friends, your pets, and so share joy. You've grown from about 100 members to almost 120. And during all of this, I've received final fellowship as a minister. I've gone through a divorce. I've seen my kid become a teenager. I've moved 5 times. I've learned how to ask for help. I've grown collegial relationships. I've discovered the joys and the responsibilities of journeying with my people. And so many things we've done together to live out our ministry. We have answered the call of love over and over again. We protested with Tony Robinson's friends and family during my first 6 months here when he was killed by a police officer. We created a statement of conscience on racial justice, partly because of that event. We created a solidarity resolution with immigrants and refugees. We've partnered with the Dane Sanctuary Coalition. We voted to become a sanctuary congregation. We show up in solidarity with oppressed and marginalized people in Madison. We've created a new governance structure and a new version of that covenant of right relations and a new mission statement. What else? What comes to mind for you? What have we done? We have countless sustainable Saturday nights. Did I name it all? Fundraisers. New staff. Yes, absolutely built our choir. Brought Heather in my second year here, who's done amazing work with our choir. Yeah. 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 Now, yep, no, go.
We've revamped RE.
We've revamped RE. Yeah. And we're building momentum there as well, which is wonderful.
Share the pulpit.
Share the pulpit. Yep. We have certainly shared the pulpit and the plate.
The sanctuary.
Yep. Sanctuary work. Yeah. commitment to fair compensation. Thank you. And thank you. And Heather and Mandy and Ansley, thank you. Yeah. And so now it's time for me to take a break. A sabbatical is a very old concept that relates to a period of rest or change, traditionally after 6 years, to mirror the seventh day of rest in the creation story in Genesis. The root is from the word Sabbath, meaning the day of rest. Unitarian Universalist congregations frequently grant their ministers a sabbatical period with full pay in recognition of their difficult and consuming work. The result is a renewal of the minister's outlook, new directions of thought and growth and vision, the ability to hear the song in my heart again. The plan for sabbatical in my letter of agreement is for every 4 to 7 years, with me taking a month of leave for each year I've served. So I am really excited about this. Bless you. Not just the time off, although I'm going to Mexico with my friend and colleague Laura in 2 weeks, and that's looking pretty good right now. But I'm also really excited that we are in this place. 5.5 years isn't that long in the grand scheme of things, but it is the second longest ministry this congregation has had. And I want it to grow into the longest. You've never had a minister take a sabbatical before. And it's a wonderful, it's so wonderful to get to where it's time for one. Not only that, it's wonderful that you all, this congregation, is stable and healthy enough to do this and to do it really well. And Bev and our sabbatical team, Colleen and Mary and Marla, stand up so everybody can see your faces. Yeah. They are all ready to support our ongoing community and mission. And we have a full staff of amazing people. I met with Heather and Mandy and Ansley last week. I was overwhelmed with the joy and the gratitude to be able to leave our music and our RE and our administration in such capable and competent and caring hands. So what I wish for you while I'm away is to continue to thrive. Keep welcoming new people of all ages, all genders, all abilities, all backgrounds. Keep serving our community, radiating that love and compassion and activism that sits in your hearts. Keep worshiping and singing and praying and celebrating your accomplishments and your joys. Keep accompanying each other through your sorrows and your fears. Keep dreaming about what we will do next. Listen to the song in your heart. You have both a challenge and an opportunity here. The challenge is to provide stability, and you have got that. The opportunity is to widen your horizons, to pay attention to new thoughts, new ideas, and to deepen your ministry. It's going to be amazing.